You are listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Leinster. To find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Last time I preached, Jason rang me a few days later and what's the title? I didn't know how to name it as well. So I've called this one, well, no, I didn't. God called this one Valley or Feast. Valley or Feast. Well, don't take notes as well. I'm going to start off with asking a few questions. How are you feeling? Are you feeling better than last week? Worse? I must admit, I'm feeling a bit better than last week. Because this is where I started from. I've found the last few weeks very hard. No reason, just hard. I felt spiritually flat, tired. And I must admit, last Sunday, the thought of getting out of bed at whatever time it is on a Sunday. Can I lie in? No. And then in among all that, I'm trying to write a preach. And God, because I've known for a few weeks, God had given me loads, I'd got loads of scriptures and I'd written them all down. I even put them all on a piece of card to see if I could make them all line up and make a preach. And so that's where I came from, all these random things. And then last week, Jason sang, he just kept singing over and over and over. We walked through the valley of death. And the other day, I've got less than a week now to write this preach. And still, all I've got is a jumble of scriptures, and none of it seems to make sense. So I went for a walk, and that's all that kept going through my head. But not just that, it was the whole two verses in the middle. These verses have got quite a significance to me from a story from years ago. But it was Psalm 23, 4 and 5. Even though we walk through the valley of death, I won't be afraid. If you are close to me, your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You welcome me as a guest. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows with blessings. And that just wouldn't go. While I was walking the dog and trying to work it out, that just wouldn't go. So, God, what are you trying to say? What is in them couple of verses? I know the story that makes them significant for me, but that didn't seem to work with where things were. It just didn't seem right to share that story. And then I started thinking, well, it's the valley of the shadow of death, so it's not death. So it's our hard times. It's when we battle, it's when we argue, when we just don't understand things of God. And then I started looking at some scriptures, and actually quite a few people in the Bible struggled. And the couple that really stood out to me was Jacob wrestled with an angel, or was it God? But he wouldn't let go. He just would not let go until God had resolved that issue. And while it says he battled for the night, was it one night, or did he battle and battle and battle, and that was just the night? Even Jesus asked God questions and questioned at the end in the Garden of Gethsemane. Or was it our dry times? And I just thought about Death Valley in America is very dry and arid. And in Ezekiel, it references the dry bones. They were that dry that they rattled. And I have these silly thoughts that go through my head occasionally. I thought, yeah, often I'm that dry that my halo rattles around my feet. I have these weird things. But it is, some days we're so dry, we just don't know where to go. We trip ourselves up all the time. But God reminded me of the little bit that says, "But I prepare a feast in the presence of your enemies, and I anoint your head with oil." So God wants to bless us. Even in our dark and dry places, God wants to bless us. Jacob, yes, he ended up with a limp, but he ended up with God blessing him, and he was given a new name of Israel because he persisted. He didn't give up. He could have given up maybe nights or days before, but he persisted. He persisted on arguing with God and struggling with him until he got his answer. And in Ezekiel, God breathed breath into those dry bones and made them live again. He breathed life in them and they became a mighty people. And while I was thinking about this, of course, Isaiah 61's in my head because we've just been talking about it. And in that, God gives restoration and blessings. He restored the brokenhearted and gave us joy when we mourn. He set people captives from whatever situations they're struggling with. He set them free. I think sometimes we can hang on to loads of stuff in our hearts that really God wants to set us free from. I know I have. I know I've hung on to stuff for years that I should have let go, and that stopped me praising God. He even wants to restore our ruined cities. He wants to restore our dwelling places. And at the time I thought about the history, because a few weeks ago I was looking at doing a preach on that bit of Isaiah 61, and I was looking at the history of Leinster. Like, Leinster's been a place of Christianity since 1660, they think, when it was the monks came from Lindisfarne. So they came from right the other side of the country to here to plant a church. The priory's been there since the 1100s, but that's all in ruins now. But I think that there's a significance also in the fact that we're here in an old chapel. And as part of Isaiah 61, it starts talking about seeds. And I think, and was it Sam the other week mentioned, somebody prayed about seeds that were buried deep in Leinster. I couldn't remember who it was. But the seeds are very, what I've written here was, what seeds are buried deep in this place that will sprout in the spring, in God's season of restoration? What I love about seeds is you don't get the same old back again. You get a combination of the old and the new. You get a combination of two things coming together. And I just really started to get a sense that God is going to use Leinster history to bring forth new flowers now and this time. And whenever I pray about Leinster in that respect, I just get so excited. He wants to bless us. And again, at the end of Isaiah 61, it talks about putting on your wedding clothes. And it says, "He has dressed me in the clothes of salvation, like a bridegroom in his wedding suit and a bride with her jewels." So returning back to Psalm 21, he set the table out in front of our enemies. And that got me thinking about communion. And I know that a lot of the scriptures about communion talk about putting yourself right with God and whatever in the New Testament. But I also think that communion, the communion table, is somewhere to spend time with God. It's where we can spend time talking to God and really open our hearts to him, like around the family table. And remembering what he's done on the cross for both us and in our recent times in our lives, in recent days, and giving testimony to that. And from that, this is when my brain goes. My brain went to, a few weeks back, I read about communion and where it was liked, being like this, I hope I'm saying this right, the Sabbath, or the Sabbath meal that Jewish families hold for them on a Friday night. And that's where the families gather around and remember what God did for them, taking them out of Egypt and whatever. And I think that the communion meal is our opportunity to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross and what he's doing now. It's a time for us to settle our hearts and remember, regardless of how dark or deep our valley is, Jesus is here right beside us. He's with us with his rod and his staff. And the rod, to me, is the shepherd's crook. And he can use that shepherd's crook to pull us out of trouble. Just stick it around our necks and pull us out of the deep areas. And he can also use the stick to beat our enemies. He's not surprised or taken aback by our arguments, fears, or our dry times. That's why the feast is in the valley and in front of our foes. So my thing is it valley or feast? Or I think that they're one. So I can't read my own writing now. I've made some notes this morning. I don't think it matters whether it's one or the other. God can and will prepare a feast for us, whether we're on the hill or in the valley. It's not valley or feast. It's valley and feast. It's the place where we come to meet God. It's where God can meet us. I just think sometimes we get hung up about not being where God wants us, not being where we should be and whatever. We're where God is. So whether we're going through a rough time or a good time, we believe God stood beside us. And I think that he will prepare what we need to get through. Because feast, it's a meal. It says feast, but we can make that just a normal meal. And I think God sustains us with what we need to go through what we're doing. And that's why now I've set up at the back a table that and the communion. And what I'd like us to do is take communion. And depending on how you're feeling, I'd like us to sit around the table as a family together to take the communion meal and just talk among ourselves and just share what God's been doing with us. And if it's that we're not that happy with God at the moment, share that. If we've got a testimony of what God's done good for us, share that, because they all make up our testimony and what God's doing for us. Can you bless the bread and the wine in a minute and we'll do that. But that was it, really. That was my little preach.